Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast. In this episode, I am paying tribute to some place that is very near and dear to Michael's and myself's hearts. Paso Robles. People always ask how we came to settle in Paso Robles. Well, the truth is, it started as a compromise. I went to college in Southern California, Whittier College. Although it's ranked as one of the top private liberal arts schools in America, most people have only heard of it for two reasons. First, Nixon went there. And secondly, we were an epicenter of a 6.4 earthquake on October 1st, 1987. When Michael and I decided we wanted to retire to California, he wanted Northern and I wanted Southern. I thought I should win out since I actually knew people in Southern California, but he wanted wine. So we picked the Central Coast. Without knowing there was a wine country, we figured it was 3 hours in each direction and we both would be happy. But when we started planning our first vacation to check out the area, we found wine. And not only wine, but exceptional wine. A growing wine region filled with phenomenal people and amazing views. It was love at first sight, and our hearts have been there ever since. And now, for six vintages, so has our winery. So in this podcast, I thought I would share a bit of Paso Robles history. Sláinte. Paso Robles will be celebrating its 130th anniversary next year, so I thought it would be nice to pay tribute to the area that we have fallen in love with so much that we chose to start our winery here. Paso Robles, or officially El Paso de Robles, is within the San Luis Obispo County. When translated, it means the Pass of the Oaks. It is centrally located 3 hours north of Los Angeles and 3 hours south of San Francisco. Although, with LA traffic, it can take considerably longer. It sits at an average of 740 feet above sea level, but ranges between 675 and 1,100 feet. The city is a short 20-minute drive to the Pacific Ocean. There are beautiful rolling hills on the east side, while the Santa Lucia Coastal Range is on the west side. The infamous San Andreas Fault is approximately 30 miles to the east. Since the very beginning, Paso Robles has been known as a place to rejuvenate and relax. The native Salinan Indians called the region the Springs, and in the 1700s, they shared the secret health benefits of the region multiple thermal waters with Spain's Franciscan Padres. The Padres, in turn, planted the region's first vineyards and taught the Indians about cattle ranching, farming, and winemaking. Indeed, the Mission-era fermentation vats can still be seen at the nearby Mission San Miguel. The three founders of Paso Robles were Daniel Blackburn, James Blackburn, and Drury James. The three men were 49ers. They came to California in search of gold, and it, at least in their eyes, was definitely the wild, wild west. One was a vigilante, one a rancher and capitalist with several business interests, and one was the uncle to the famous outlaw Jesse James. The two brothers, Daniel D. and James H. Blackburn, were born in Virginia and carpenters in Illinois before coming to California. Daniel was also a partner in a meatpacking business in Illinois prior to traveling cross-country to find his riches in California. Drury James was a native Kentuckian and a veteran of the Mexican War. The brothers arrived in August of 1849 and mined for a short 3 months. Doing exceptionally well, it is documented that each brother left with over $3,000. Daniel Blackburn chose to use his money and begin farming potatoes and other crops, while James built a sawmill and became a partner in the general store in town. However, in 1856, the sawmill burned down, At this point, James also decided land was a better option and bought the 26,000-acre El Paso de Robles Rancho for $8,000. This ranch included all of the area that now encompasses Templeton and Paso Robles. In 1859, Daniel Blackburn decided to take some the troubled times into his own hands and became sheriff. The regular county sheriff stepped aside and let Blackburn and his vigilantes make many, many arrests and even drove the infamous Jack Powers out of the state. Drury James came to Paso Robles on a different path than the Blackburns. He originated in Missouri and arrived in Placerville, which was then called Hangtown, in August. After mining all spring, he moved into the cattle business, supplying the beef to miners traveling almost the entire state from Santa Clara Valley to the gold fields and all the way down to Los Angeles. It was during one of these cattle runs that he first visited Paso Robles. In 1860, he, along with a business partner, brought 2,500 cattle and purchased 10,000 acres in La Panza near the area of Parisa. The Blackburns and his crossed paths, and ultimately in 1866, he and Daniel Blackburn married sisters, Louisa and Cecilia Dunn, in a double ceremony at Mission San Luis Obispo. Paso Robles was beginning to make a small name for itself at this time. A bathhouse and a hotel that could house 50 guests was built near the hot springs on the corner of 10th and Spring Street. Settlers of European descent joined the Native American, Mexican, and Spanish residents in farming the region. Meanwhile, tourists came in greater numbers to enjoy the El Paso de Robles hot and cold sulfur springs and the only natural mud baths in the world, which had been developed and advertised by the Blackburns and James. In 1868, Drury James received a visitor, his infamous nephew, the outlaw Jesse James. And although Drury denied he knew anything about Jesse's illegal ways, the following year, Drury bought half interest in the Paso Robles Hotel and Bathhouse, along with the surrounding 4,300 acres, and moved into the village itself. Being the shrewd businessmen the three of them were, when they heard that the railroad would be reaching the area, they laid out the city of Paso Robles in 1886, and threw a rip-roaring Old Western barbecue on November 17, 1886, to auction off lots of land. 1 year later, the town had populated with 500 people and became the second incorporated city in the county on February 25, 1889. With the population booming and the train coming, they announced plans to build a three-story hotel as well as an extensive bathhouse over the Sulphur Springs. Their dream was to build a planned spa community. Construction, as you would assume, did not go very smoothly, and the building was left in partial completion for several months. A year later, a new company was developed and building once again began. The El Paso de Robles Springs Company opened its doors on October 12, 1891, with Drury James as the major shareholder. Although Drury James gave up the hotel business after a few years, the El Paso de Robles Hotel became a renowned spa and it attracted many well-known guests. The 1880s also welcomed the city's first commercial wineries. Andrew York established Ascension Winery at what is now known as Epic or York Mountain Winery. The Narellis, Ducey's, Martinelli's, Busey's, Vosti's, and Bianchi's are just some of the other families that launched Paso Robles wineries in the early 20th century. Paso Robles was officially born on March 11, 1889, less than 3 years after the arrival of the Southern Pacific Railroad in that town. In 1892, the first school was opened and was located on the current site of the Marie Bauer School. In 1913, electricity reached Paso Robles, and in 1914, Rancho San Ignacio was established, and it was the first land purchased for the purpose of vineyards. Paso Robles, at this time, was really an almond-producing city. By 1920, they had 25,000 acres of land dedicated to almond trees and became known as the almond capital of the world. In the 1920s, more Paso Robles saw another blip of popularity when Ignacio Paderewski, the famous Polish statesman and concert pianist, purchased 2,000 acres and planted Petite Syrah and Zinfandel on the Rancho San Ignacio vineyard in the Adelaide area, west of Paso Robles. He would regularly perform at the Paso Robles Inn, which in turn brought such famous guests as Jack Dempsey, President Theodore Roosevelt, Douglas Fairbanks, Boris Karloff, Bob Hope, Clark Gable, and even the Pittsburgh Pirates during their spring training. The El Paso de Robles Hotel burned down in December of 1940, but was rebuilt and is now known as the Paso Robles Inn, one of the only sites left with access to the Sulphur Springs. The bathhouse building is still standing at the corner of the 11th and Pine, and you can go in there and you can get some amazing candy because it is a very popular candy shop today. By 1940, the population of Paso Robles had increased to over 3,000. In 1941, when the Army's Camp Roberts opened, the population soared due to the military presence, the workers, and of course the USO. By 1950, the population rose to 4,800, and by 1960, it was 6,800. In 1965, Ronald Reagan rode in the Pioneer Day Parade and announced his candidacy for governor. The 1980s were big for Paso Robles, not to mention the best decade ever for music. This decade allowed the population to exceed 10,000, and the county fair was officially renamed the Mid-State Fair and was extended to 12 days. As with everything in California, you are not officially on the map until you are an epicenter of an earthquake. On December 23, 2003, at 11:15 a.m., the San Simeon earthquake placed Paso Robles on the map with a 6.5 magnitude earthquake. By 2010, almost 30,000 people discovered the beauty and character of Paso Robles and decided to call it home, including us. It has changed from the almond capital to a phenomenal wine destination. I can't keep track of how many articles are out there about this wonderful city. In 2013, it was named Wine Region of the Year and also our first vintage. And in 2014, Paso Robles was officially classified into 11 AVAs. I hope you get a chance to visit this amazing wine region. I promise you will not be disappointed. The city has grown significantly and is not only a wine destination, but a foodie's haven also. New hotels are being built and there is always something to do, wine and non-wine related. So I hope to see you in Paso Robles soon. And while I've got you listening, if I could please ask a favor of you, you know, iTunes is, I don't know, Apple is Apple. But in order for us to get seen in front of other people, we need your help. So if you could please just scroll down, take 1 minute, less than 1 minute, click that 5 stars and give me some words, just what you think about the podcast. It can be anything. They don't really care what the words are. They just want to see those stars. So please give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you would like to hear on future podcasts. Thank you. Did you know that Dracena Wines now has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a little jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our club spokesdog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites. We are betting that we are one of your favorite wineries, so we thought the name was apropos. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. When you wager on us, we will ship you 3 bottles of wine twice a year, once in April and once in September. You can choose all red or mix of red and rosé. You immediately receive 15% off of all your wine purchases throughout the year, but what makes our club stand out is the progressive discount. Let your club membership ride into the next year. Your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% off up to a plan maximum of 25%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your club shipping cost for your second shipment. That's $15 house money in a sure bet for you. So please head to our website, DracenaWines.com, and find out all of the benefits of joining the Chalk Club and how to sign up. We've stacked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank. Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!